And we've already gotten 10 bookings for a gross revenue of $25,000. So
with a higher average nightly rate?
Higher. So $330 last year is what our ADR was. We're running $830. So $500. Oh, wow,
that's crazy. So last year, that comparable $25,000 would have been about $8,000 in bookings because exactly. It's almost 3X.
So yeah, 3X is what we're running. And this, and I think you come into the holiday season and you think, oh, was that a Christmas booking? Was that a New Year's booking? We were already booked for the holidays.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Experts Corner interviews with short-term rental investors. And one of my favorite short-term rental investors and favorite people of all time is Miss Misty Petrie joining me for the third time on the podcast. You were the first person to ever come on the podcast three times, Misty.
And oh, so wow. I'm
excited. You're one of those people that I'll say this on the podcast and hopefully not embarrass you, but you are like, whenever I have a chance to talk to you, you're like one of those people that just makes me in a good mood no matter what. And so it is always fun for me to talk to you and see you and get the updates of what you and Troy have got going on. And it's just always fun. You've got that great energy about you. So I'm excited again for our third conversation on the Vacation Rental Revolution. So thanks for joining me.
Oh, right back at you. I look forward to every conversation we have, and I always leave with so many pearls. So I'm right back at you. It's just great to catch up with you personally and how are you doing in the family and everything.
Awesome. Well, likewise. And so this is, this will be fun. So this one, normally we always start with backstories and everything else, but since you guys have been on before and you and Troy have shared your backstory, all of you listeners, if you haven't heard it, you can go look for a past episode, just search Troy and Misty Petrie and you can hear their backstory. But I want to talk a little bit about today. The main topic is something that a lot of existing short-term rental owners wrestle with, and that is properties that they bought, they're performing, and we're starting to say, okay, when do I start to revitalize a property? When do I look at that return on equity on exiting a property and kind of navigating some of those decisions? You hear a lot of people talk about, you know, we're always as investors looking at the best return on equity. And a lot of times when you get 5 to 7 years into a property, sometimes that return on equity starts to go down a little bit because it's parked into these properties and we have to decide, do we want to sell, pull it out and put it into a bigger and better property, or do we want to make this property bigger and better? And you and Troy navigated that. But just as a brief backstory, talk to me a little bit about the portfolio and then the property that we're going to be referencing and talking about in Fair Play. That was, I think, your guys' first purchase, right?
It was. And yeah. It's actually 5 years almost to the exact day that we purchased it. So we hit that 5-year anniversary mark, and it's exactly as you said. You kind of start to look back at, you know, what should you do with your current portfolio? So to backtrack about the current portfolio we have, we bought one every year since 2020. So we have a portfolio currently of 5 properties, and we're a little bit different from some investors that we have 4 different states. So everywhere from Alaska to Florida to Georgia and Colorado.
All the way across the country, like literally across the country, Alaska to Florida. Yeah.
Yeah. It's our retirement plan. So we always tell people when it gets hot, we'll go, we'll go north, and when it gets cold, we'll go south. So, but not, you know, just joking. It kind of comes back to that first property in Colorado. So it's in Fair Play, great little town that kind of has a lot of sister sites around it, being Breckenridge, huge mountain sites. And we chose to go on the other side of the mountain because we could get a bigger property 5 years ago. So it fit our family really well. It's a great lifestyle asset. We got to use it a lot over the years. But then as you kind of start to look at, you know, the performance, of course, it was 2020, right? Back in the COVID days, everybody was doing well. Didn't take a lot to compete back there. So those numbers are probably a little inflated, right? But then we started to look at each year as it went on, and we started to stabilize. It was a little under where the 2020 performance was, about 10,000 under, but we stabilized. And then you saw 2023, 2024, you started to see a little bit more decline, and not just a decline in gross revenue, which actually was significant. From 2023 to 2024, we saw about a $50,000 gross revenue decline. So pretty significant. But on top of that, we also saw maintenance fees going way up. And we knew we had, to your point, a lot of equity built into that property in the course of 5 years. Obviously, appreciation, paid on a mortgage from the guests staying there, which is great. But you kind of get money in multiple ways. And so we want to take a look at the asset like, hey, is it time? Is it time to sell and put those dollars elsewhere? Or is it time to really reassess and honestly reinvest? That's really what it needed to happen. Mm-hmm. So Troy and I looked at multiple different areas, from double downing in Alaska to, you know, Florida to new markets like Sedona. And really, when we ran the numbers, we have such a great percentage interest on that home that the cash flow is superb when the property is running appropriately. So I think to every investor out there, it's kind of what individually is your motivator at the time. For us, we've got two kids going into high school now. They're in private school, and this portfolio is what has allowed us to be able to have our kids in a Christian school that was really meaningful for us. Mm-hmm. So we knew in the next 5 years, we need cash flow. So that's what kind of aired us to come back to, you know what, we need to double down and reinvest. So I'll pause there, but that was our deciding factor of looking, should we move the dollars elsewhere or should we just come back to what we know?
Yeah. And I love that you're breaking it down, because it's not always an easy decision for an investor to decide that. And especially when you feel like, man, things are sliding a little bit. But there's a couple things that I want to highlight is, one, the game has changed a lot in this 5-year run, right? From the way that we design properties, the way that we're creating these immersive experiences, everything else. And what worked back in 2020 when you bought this one at first is it's ready for an upgrade, right? And you know, and when you're making these decisions, though, you started looking and you say, hey, we're looking at all these different markets. We're looking at this market, particularly in Fair Play. And we start to underwrite it just the same as if we were going to buy into that market, right? You're really underwriting the market potential. You're not just saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to go in and spend X amount of dollars on this. You're doing it with some sort of expectation of potential revenue gain, right? And and so when you like, and I think that it's important for existing investors to understand this. And I always talk to them about, and they say, well, I've got a property. I don't really need to understand underwriting, because that's all about buying a property and acquisitions. And I always say, no, you need to understand the underwriting and the profit potential of every individual property. You should be underwriting these properties, especially when you make these types of decisions. You're really still doing a full underwriting package on this property, even though you already own it, right? Mm-hmm. You know very well what your fixed costs are, what your debt service is, everything else, but you need to still underwrite. Is it going to be, you know, if I'm at X revenue right now, how much money is the consumer spending? And what's the likelihood that I'm going to jump that revenue up and get a nice return on this reinvestment into this property? So it starts with the numbers, though, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And I think you bring a really good point there, that underwriting doesn't happen just at purchase, right? Any wise investor needs to be doing underwriting at least once a year on an annual basis to see where they are, what the expenses are. And then, like you said, what's the market doing? What we realized is the market actually is still growing. It just takes a lot more to compete, as we've talked about, right? And so if you're looking across property from property, what were we going to gain if we actually reinvested? And our numbers showed, you know, we were running at like 350 ADR. We knew we had been higher than that prior too, and the market would support it. And now with the reinvestment, we knew we could jump to, gosh, almost $500 more. So we're running at like an $800 ADR now. And you can do the math, right? At a 70% occupancy over the course of a year, that's significant. That's the same as if we were to take that profit, have moved it to another property, have obviously the investment of time and energy into another property setting up. We already had a well-performing property. We just needed to reinvest and wait for the actually outcomes to come back to what we knew it could be.
Yeah, that's it's awesome. I love hearing that, because, you know, we always hear about, you know, getting a better return on your equity. What are you, where are you going to pull that out of and place it into something bigger and better? And sometimes that bigger and better seems like the best option and the easiest option. But when you run the numbers and you guys are in a very good market, right? The consumer loves that market. That market's not going away, right? Mm-hmm. And so the consumer likes to go visit there. They're spending a lot of money there. It's in a highly appreciating market for the most part over time. It's a great appreciating market, and you've got a great rate on there's all these really good things that are lining up. You're like, okay, so how do we get a better return on that? And you look and say, listen, we can reinvest. And so when you talk about reinvesting into the property, walk me through the decisions of how did you decide what you're going to do? How did you decide, you know, what are we reinvesting in, you know, a design upgrade? Are we reinvesting in amenities, or is a combination of both? Or like, how did you walk through when you and Troy were looking at that and saying, hey, what are, like, we're willing to reinvest, but into what?
Yeah, and it's a really great question too. We had to look across the portfolio or the market to see what do current people that we strive to be, right? There's a couple properties that you know in every market that compete in that top 1%. And so we knew, how do we stay ahead of that? Because we're one of the top properties in that market. Yeah. But how do we stay ahead of what's to come? I think you look at any good business, in any industry, right? And they're constantly reinventing themselves. Yeah. They can't stay stagnant. And I think that's what we had to do for the portfolio too. So we looked across the board at like, okay, what are the best properties doing? What amenities do they have? What are reviews saying about their properties? Is it something that we can echo or amplify in ours? So specifically what we did notice is a lot of mountain properties, as you know, they're wood tones. You look down the Airbnb or the VRBO listings, right? And the colors just kind of blend together because everybody wants that, like, oh, mood, you know, moose and cat and moose and bears, and it's all the same. So we knew we needed to redesign. And that was a big part of it is, and I love that when the easiest way to explain color, I feel like is, people know me at work. They know that I love color. And I'll tell you, every time I wear a colorful dress, which I know this is funny, I'm wearing black right now. But when you wear a colorful dress, every single time I have somebody compliment that, like, oh, wow, that looks great. And I think that's the biggest tell, that color does drive emotion. It drives a response from people. So when we looked back at our listing, we realized, you know what? We don't have that splash of color that really draws you in from the opening photo all the way through the rooms. It looked very mountainy. So that was one specific that we noticed in amenities, just as I think you're doing on one of your properties. We have a barrel sauna up at our Alaska property, and it is such an experience. Everybody comments on it. And it's such a small investment. It's actually less than a hot tub. So that was an easy one to invest into, to know, like, you know what, we need to add that to our Colorado property. And then the third one I would say is we actually did an Alpine store. So it's kind of like a little shop that they can go into. It's got a QR code where they can pay for things, but it's just little amenities that they might want to purchase, from a s'mores kit to oxygen. Oxygen is probably our number one amenity that people purchase, but it's just a way. It's not so much for the money we're making. We don't make much off of it. But again, it goes back to the experience that the guests that come know that we care. We're trying to go out of our way to show them that.
I love that. And it does start by just looking at the competition, right? It's like saying, hey, listen, how do we stay ahead of this? We talk about, we know we're in the, you know, the experience business. And you mentioned the color, right? And the pops of color. And a lot of our properties that we do this design on, it's like pretty bold, right? There's a lot of bold things that we would do that maybe we wouldn't do in our regular home, you know? And I always hear people say, oh, we're trying to create a home away from home. That's actually not what people want, in my opinion. we want this like immersive experience that, you know, that we don't have at home. And like most of our homes are fairly muted, right? They're fairly neutral, and we can, you know, we're living in them and they're calm and they're great. But when we go on vacation, we're trying to evoke this different emotion, and you're exactly right. Color evokes a lot of emotion, and it is one of the easiest ways, because we are in, from a marketing standpoint, everything we do, we don't get to get on the phone with all these people and say, hey, tell them all the great things about our properties to come visit it. They have to make a decision by looking at images and just like scrolling online. And when everything kind of blends into that cabin feel and everything else, and everything's fairly neutral wood and, you know, the mountain atmosphere, and then you start to splash these, you know, emotion drivers with color pops and with different scenes that you're setting and all these different things, you're like, the guest is like, oh man, I that looks fun. That looks like exciting. Like it looks, you know, it just sometimes you don't know why you like it, but you're like, I like that better than the other stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it does come down to a couple, amenities, the design, which is designed to kind of evoke an emotion and do some of that marketing on the front end, but also then that experience. I love, where'd you get the idea of, cause it didn't come from me, on the idea, which I love it, so I don't want to take credit for it, is the little storefront. I think the storefront's awesome. It's such a good idea. Like we have concierge services that people can do, but I've never even thought of like putting a little storefront where they can just go scan and get stuff that's already stocked there. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's super easy. And the idea actually came because when my family and I, we go to Breckenridge, we have a condo there, timeshare, right? So one week a year we go. And you know where we always end up is that stinking store that right. is, you know, right across from the concierge desk. The kids, we pass by and go to the pool and they want a bag of popcorn and they want a candy bar. They want an ice cream bar. And, yeah. At the end, I'm like, shoot, it's not so much about whatever, the $3 that it cost us, but it really amplifies the experience that they have. They it's know fun. That store. Yeah. They have so much fun shopping in it. It's definitely a driver. So that's where we came in. It's so cheap to do, right? Like you have an empty cabinet in yours, or just even buy one. I think we got one on $100 on Wayfair, and yeah. we put it in a corner that wasn't being used. And I had some friends say, don't you think people will steal stuff? And I thought, absolutely not. And you know what? If they do, so be it. They're having exactly. a great time. But yeah. people are honest people, and yeah. we're 15 minutes outside of town. So if they can grab a s'mores kit that maybe they forgot when they were coming up to the cabin, it just amplifies their experience. I'm all in.
Oh, I think that like my kids would love to have a little kiosk storefront that they can go. Cause you're exactly right. Like when we go to any of these little resorts, I swear, like any of the little general stores or anything that is a hotel that, you know, you walk in and you've got your little spot to go get your drinks and your fruit or whatever, you know, box of cereal or whatever, that my kids are there. Like that's a highlight yeah. of the location. I'm like, so that's really fun. And then the things that they don't think they need, like the oxygen, which is a big thing. We have a property here in Utah, and it's, and it's not even that high of elevation compared to your Colorado one. Ours is at like 5,500 feet, 6,000 feet, I think. But it's a big deal where people come in that aren't used to that. Mm-hmm. And now they've got those little oxygen bottles, and it makes it so they don't get altitude sickness, which is nice.
Yeah. And you can showcase like, so what we go in Fair. I don't know if you spent much time on there, but it's a fantastic site for business owners. You can get wholesale products. But what I love about them is they partner with local kind of small mom and pop shops. And so we picked a lot of different products up there too that were Colorado owned. So I think it goes back into that story and the experience that you're getting. They have Colorado based chapstick and, you know, obviously the oxygen company, but there's a jerky company in Colorado that produces like bison jerky and just things to amplify the experience, but they also feel true to, I think, your brand.
Yeah. I think the highlight of that is it's not really an extra profit driver for you. It's really an experience driver. It is. Right. And so it's like almost like, you know, who cares if you even break even on it? And it gives that, it just elevates the experience of just something different, right? People love different. They like personalized. They like unique. And mm-hmm. And so maybe, you know, after everybody listens to this, we'll all be copying you guys. But
fantastic. Do yeah, it. Right? Because when I come to your place, I can pick up popcorn.
Exactly. That's what that's why I always have, like, make sure all my property managers will make sure that the very, very minimum they offer to stock the fridges for people that are coming in, because I hate shopping when I land on a plane or I drive into somewhere. I just want to be like, okay, I know that I want certain things. Just here's my credit card. Have it there ready for me.
Yep. That's exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it. And another like very simple one is we did a mural down in the basement. And you think like anybody can do this, right? We just painted. Honestly, this idea came from 2020 from COVID. I used to paint chalk art with my daughter on the sidewalk during that time, right? I think we all kind of had fun little, you know, memories back then. Well, she's quite the artist. So what we did was just we chalk arted a wall essentially with different paint colors, made it look like a mosaic. And now when guests come, they sign a little square and they say like where they're from, the dates they stayed. And this idea actually came from when we were camping this summer down in Telluride, and the glamping guy had a little piece of wood that we got to sign. And I thought, wow, what a small token, but it was so meaningful for us, because now if we ever go back, you know, we're going to stay with him, right? Because yes. we want to see the piece of wood that has our name inscribed yep. on it. So just little things like that, they don't have to cost a lot of money. Right. And I think it comes out in your reviews, but people also know that you care.
Yeah, I love it. And it's when we're one, the game between 2020 and today, and like the creating these experiences and the things we have to do to be at the top of these markets is way different. Mm-hmm. Right. That, you know, that was really when we added fuel to the fire that was burning on short-term rentals. It was barely an ember. I mean, it was starting to grow pretty good between like 15 to 19. We had some pretty good growth, but then boom, it just exploded. Right. Mm-hmm. But now it's started to slow down where you're saying, okay, like I always say you probably have a 5 to 7 year run on your investment into amenities and upgrades and reinvestments. And so when you're making these decisions, those of you listening, I've always felt like that 5 to 7 years is a fairly good like gauge of when you're going to do an upgrade, right? And mm-hmm. and when you make these, you either probably sell, pull equity out and go reinvest and or upgrade the property. And so when you're making these decisions, you want to look at it and say, okay, if I'm going to invest $30,000, $50,000, whatever it is, I want to make sure that I'm getting a sooner than a 5-year payback. And I'm not really attracted about a 5-year payback. I want to make sure that I'm probably getting a sooner payback than that. And so were you guys looking at some of that? Like a lot of times my criteria for when I run the numbers and I'm looking at saying, okay, I'm thinking about doing all these different things to upgrade this property. It's going to cost me X amount of dollars. I'm usually trying to say, okay, am I going to raise my revenue enough that I'm getting about a 2.5 year payback or less?
Yeah.
Was that a conversation where you looking at it from that, like that granular on the underwriting side of it when you're making some of these decisions?
We did to a certain extent. So on the ADRs where we knew where we could kind of push the ADR to, and then obviously on our occupancy. So to kind of give all the listeners an idea, we put $20,000 back into the property, right? That was a bathroom remodel, to your point. After 5 years, your property needs some, you know, refresh, new bedding, colorful rugs, all of that. But then the big one was the barrel sauna at about $8,000 of that $20,000. So when we looked at about a $20,000 investment, the same as you, it's like, what is that going to bring back for us? And when I said that we have about a 76% occupancy, but I always like to quote a little bit lower than that because I don't like to run my numbers that aggressively. Even at 70%, you knew if we could raise our rates almost double was easy. And that was very still conservative. We're making back triple that even in the year. So that's an easy investment for me. All day I would do that. You give a dollar, you make three. That piece actually proved true. So it was October 10th, we posted the new pictures up on the listing. So it's been less than 3 weeks since we've had them up. And we've already gotten 10 bookings for a gross revenue of $25,000. So
with a higher average nightly rate?
Higher. So at 330 last year is what our ADR was. We're running 830. So 500. Oh, wow,
that's crazy. So last year, that comparable 25 grand would have been about 8,000 in bookings because it's almost 3X.
So yeah, 3X is what we're running. And I think you come into the holiday season and you think, oh, was that a Christmas booking? Was that a New Year's booking? We were already booked for the holidays. So that tells you like these are, yes, they're ski season weekends, which is still a premium, but we already booked one out for summer. So that tells you it's grabbing attention and it's commanding a much higher level.
That is awesome. And I love, appreciate you breaking down those numbers because that's exactly what we want to see, right? You never know until you actually get those bookings. You're always nervous about it, right? It doesn't matter how much underwriting we do and how confident we are in it. It's like you're always waiting for those bookings to come in like, yeah, it worked, right?
Yes, exactly. So, you hold your breath a little bit, but
always. As many times as we've done it, as confident as we are in the underwriting and the numbers, they're never perfect. And so you're always like, okay, is this going to hold true? And it's always so fun when it does, right?
No, it is. It is. And it's, when you can line up all the properties and you know you have something just a little extra that knows that you're going to tip it to your favor too. Yeah. So back into your question of like, how did we analyze what to add? There was only one sauna up in our market and it was not a panoramic sauna. So we knew if you're looking apples to apples and price is, you know, maybe a little higher, it will tip people in our favor to stay here if we have kind of a one of a kind amenity.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. And I just want to put an exclamation point on that is people assume that consumers are always looking for the lowest price. They are more than happy to pay you higher prices if you give them a reason to. And that's exactly what you guys are doing. You're saying, hey, listen, we're going to give you a reason of why we're better. We're going to give you a reason to pay more money and they're going to be stoked to do it. We're as consumers, we naturally are happy to pay more for something that is customized to us, that's unique, that's personal, all those things that are differentiating factors. And you looked at the market and said, hey, listen, how can we be different? How can we raise the bar? And here's what we're going to do. And if this is, you know, I want to also highlight, because we mentioned it a little bit, but kind of, you know, it might've went under the radar for a lot of listeners is this was a top performing property. This was not coming in at an underperformer and it just wasn't performing the way you guys knew it could. Mm-hmm. And it started slipping in from your guys' viewpoint of saying, listen, this is, you know, if we feel like it's slipping a little bit and we know that there's more potential here, but it wasn't, this was not an underperformer or, you know, a property that was in the middle or bottom of the market. This was a top performer. So this, you can even raise the bar on top performing properties. It's, you know, arguably it should be harder to raise the bar on top performers instead of, you know, cause it's easy to raise the bar when your back's against the wall and you're at the bottom of the barrel, you have nowhere to go but up. Right. Mm-hmm. But this wasn't that. This was a top performer and it still works by reinvesting into these types of properties.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was a top 1% of the market. And I think it just goes to show that, you know, you always talk about incrementally increasing your ADR and seeing kind of where that threshold is. And we found that, you know what, there's a market that wasn't being served in ours that was even above where we were. People are wanting more amenities and they're wanting what they get in a really luxurious ski town, but maybe just not having that same pace of life. So yeah. When you analyze your market, I think you can find out a lot about what are customers wanting and what's not being given.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And we're going through that with property that we talk about very publicly for a long time is our Cherry Log property. And a lot of people that are longtime listeners and part of the Vodacy family, they were kind of part of that property from the very beginning. I think I probably told you guys this and I need to tell Troy, for sure. He needs to know that. So I had an IRS audit on that property, right? Cause we were really public on that and talking about our numbers and everything else. I swear that that's why I got audited. But, earlier this year, I got a letter from the IRS saying, hey, we're going to examine this property and here's the items we're examining. And it was my bonus depreciation on it. It was my depreciation deduction. And I did full bonus depreciation. Troy helped me with our cost seg and had a real nice cost seg, a fairly aggressive cost seg that came in. And so we were like, you know, we did everything, but we talked about it so publicly. And as frustrated as I was when the audit came in, we were just kind of dealing with a bunch of other stuff this year and decided to let Mike Pine and his and Kevin, they took the lead and went back. And I got a letter back 2 weeks ago that says, the IRS auditor came back and said there is zero changes to the tax return. And so, which was awesome. And so I got to, they said the cost seg was awesome, impeccable. Material participation was tracked correctly. Like it was, which we were stoked about. Right. And so it was really fun. I got to tell Troy that. So I was on with the other day with a prospective member and they were asking about doing the bonus depreciation cost seg. And I said that, you know, they're like, who should I use? I said, well, I'm only using one guy because I just had to go through an IRS audit and it held up impeccably. So it was awesome. So I got to give a feather in the cap of your husband, Troy.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, it's never fun to be audited, right? It's one thing.
Oh man, not kidding.
But to have it come out that way and to know that you had everything, your I's dotted, your T's crossed, right? And then everything came out to be exactly as it was, that we follow everything to a T. So good for you. I'm glad it's over though.
it was not fun, but honestly, like looking back, I'm like, man, what a cherry on top of like such a public case study. I mean, that was like a 3-year case study that we did with that property really publicly and then get audited. And now I'm in that process of doing exactly what you guys are doing and saying, hey, listen, we went out and took this property from zero to the number one property in the market in 1 year and documented everything. And all of a sudden, but then we kind of stayed level. But what we did is we raised the bar, we set a high watermark in that market. Then all of a sudden there's other people that are setting higher watermarks than us now, which is awesome. Right. And we're saying, oh man, this is pretty sweet. And they're coming in with like the barrel sauna and stuff. And there's one or two of them with these slides coming off of their decks that are very unique to that area. And so we're going in and we're saying, hey, listen, we don't like being leapfrogged. We want to be, you know, we're all competitive, right? We're like, we want that number one spot. And so we're going in and, reassessing what now the new high water mark is that somebody else set. And we're saying, hey, listen, there's some money there and the consumer's willing to spend. So we're reinvesting into some docks and decks and some, you know, outdoor space with the saunas and everything else. And so we're going to hopefully keep talking about that property for a while.
That's incredible.
But it's because of the, you know, because we now are confident that the consumer will pay more and they'll pay, you know, when we set at the time we set the high water mark at $130,000 in gross revenue, the highest that had ever been reported on AirDNA, was at 96. And so we were like, but now there's multiple properties in plus 150 in gross revenue on those types of properties in that area. And so it just keeps going up, which is really fun. It's fun to see. It's fun to see other people raising the bar in a game that we all like to play, but it's more proof that the consumer is willing to pay more if we give them more and we give them the, you know, a reason to. And what's really fun is, to be really honest with everybody, it's way less crowded at the top of these markets than it is in the middle of the market. It's such a hard game, in my opinion, to play in the middle of these markets. Even like in Fairplay is a fairly large market. And you said, you're then now the only second, the property with a sauna, and nobody had the view saunas like you guys have. And so it's like, I mean, that's a fairly large market to not have that amenity that is available for the guests to book. And so it's something that draws them closer to it.
Yeah. And almost every property has a hot tub, right? And I would say a sauna is probably cheaper than the hot tub. So yeah, it is. And I would say also like rethinking. I think I heard you say that even in like your Cherry Log property is you constantly have to be rethinking what you think you know about what the top of the market is. What's your competition doing? You constantly have to just rethink everything that you knew. I thought we had good photos. We looked back and with the new photos, I'm like, oh, I'm almost ashamed that I ever put that out.
Right. And, yeah. It's so true. And I'm always in the game and our stuff, we always show a lot of our stuff and some of my properties that I've had that are nearing that 5-year mark. You're like, I don't want to show anybody this. I'm supposed to be like an expert here and not like, but back when we did it, it was really good. And then it just, the bar continues to raise and the game changes. And so you've got to stay up with it. And it's, but it can be pretty fun and a pretty lucrative game. And it was, you know, like you said, it's, you mentioned that this portfolio is putting the kids in a nice private Christian school that is important for you guys and allows you to do some of those things. It's all different reasons why we do it and build these portfolios and have these types of properties. Not that it's not always for the faint of heart. Like I always tell people, this is not always an easy game to play. There's work to be had and work to put in. But it can be pretty lucrative done correctly. And so, and you guys have done such an amazing job. I always love having these conversations, Misty. I could talk to you all day long, any day. And so it's, I always appreciate you spending your time. Any final thoughts on that, the revamp or what's going on and, the for those people listening in?
Yeah, I think that part is just don't be shy to reinvest, right? If you do your research, if you look at your market, and it might sway that you take your investment and you go elsewhere. But what I would tell people is sometimes you get hit with that bill, like whether it's photography or it's investing in an $8,000 sauna, and you think, wow. But when you think about what you're going to make on the future bookings, you're going to make it up in a handful of bookings.
Right.
So, you know, don't shy away. Just lean in.
Yeah. And I appreciate that too. And it's like my criteria is saying, hey, listen, I've got a 2.5-year threshold. Like, because, you know, even if it's a, you know, that's a 40% return on my money, you know, roughly if I put 20 in and I get a 40% return because I'm going to get it all back in 2.5 years, most investors would make that deal. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it's a heck of a lot sooner than that. Like in your guys' case, you know, you're like, man, we're making that up almost probably before the end of the year, you're going to make up that investment. Right. And a lot of times that's what happens. And I think that a lot of people get, you know, we step over dollars to pick up dimes sometimes. And we're like, I don't want to spend that. But you know, how much are you leaving on the table by delaying it? And we see that a lot. And so don't be afraid. I love that advice. Don't be afraid to reinvest into a property that is either stalled out or that you see that there's other potential, right? Even if it's a top performing property, if you're leaving money on the table, you're leaving money on the table. And that's why it's important to underwrite these properties, like you said, at a minimum of once a year. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to look at the market on a monthly basis in the markets that we own properties in. And I know you guys do as well. I mean, most investors are looking at this stuff on a pretty regular basis. And when you start to see that you're leaving money on the table, it can be really frustrating. And if you're competitive like us to say, man, I they're making 50 grand a year more than I am. I mean, I'm going to go spend 30 and go beat them. Right.
Yeah. And that investment's going to give you, as you said, 5 to 7 years, right? Yeah, I know at least going to get another 5 years out of this.
Exactly.
So in the grand scheme of things, right, it was much cheaper than doing another product setup, and we'll make some good money for it. We can still buy a next one next year.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we'll miss Troy. Tell him I said hi.
And, I will. I'll tell him your story too. That's a great one.
Tell him, man. He'll be stoked. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna actually do like a big case study. So we'll give him a lot of credit in that as well. So
I'm just happy it turned out well. But
yeah, so am I. So you and me both. I got that letter on the audit. I'm thinking, oh man, roll my eyes. I'm like, well, I guess we'll see if we actually do know what the heck we're doing and talking about, right? So it's always nice when it actually works out and you can look back in a big sigh of relief when that comes in and says, yep, no changes. That's awesome.
Absolutely. So, that's good. I'm glad you're doing so well. We appreciate the heck out of you. So thanks for everything. Yeah.
Likewise, Misty. And so appreciate you joining me. Appreciate you letting everybody listen into our conversation. Those of you listening, we know how valuable your time is, and we appreciate you spending it with us. You guys know I don't run ads or sponsorships on this show. The only way it grows is with you guys and your help. And so we have been growing like crazy lately. And so a big thank you to you for sharing the show, liking it, reviewing whatever platform you're listening on. Those things help it, because then all of a sudden those platforms share it. And so if you have more than 30 seconds, I've always appreciated those likes and reviews and thumbs up or wherever you're at. So, and the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
For joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.